Next, we'll hear from Meena Seshu, who will speak to the challenges of vulnerable and marginalized groups in India.
I'm honored to be here. I'm honored to be here on many counts, but the one count that matters a lot to me is that I'm speaking to a group of feminists on issues of sex work. And as a feminist, fighting for the rights of sex workers, this has been a huge journey where I'm actually speaking at a panel which has been organized by women's groups on an issue that the women's groups are, I know not all women groups are homogeneous, but women's groups are extremely uncomfortable about. And I'm totally aware of that. I'll take questions afterwards, of course. And I'd love to meet many of you in the corridors. And I'm passionate that the feminist movement is the movement that will help the sex workers' rights movement achieve their rights. And I'm passionate that all of us sitting here in this room today will be the drivers who will help leadership, their own organizations, the leaders in their organizations, understand that sex workers need the feminist movement to move forward. In India, of late, we've had a lot of problems with many movements fighting the sex workers' rights movement. We've had a section of the women's rights movement. We've had the section of the HIV/AIDS movement. We've had many left-based unions and organizations fighting the sex workers' rights movement. And almost all of that has happened in the last decade. And this has mainly been because of the visibility that the sex workers' rights movement has achieved in the last decade or two. Much of the representation of sex workers has been either that they're sexual outcasts or they're abused and exploited victims. And the public health, because of the HIV/AIDS pandemic, we've seen another kind of visibility, which is the public health visibility, which has decided that sex workers are vectors of spread of HIV. We have the government of India having documents that clearly state that since sex workers are vectors of HIV, everybody needs to work with sex workers. We need to make them use condoms because the bridge population, which is the men who visit sex workers, have to be saved. We also have the third voice that's coming up, which is the sex workers themselves, organizing and creating an individual and public voice. What has been the traditional perspectives that we've been dealing with? One, that all women in sex work, all of them, wherever they are, they're all victims. That nobody could choose, quote unquote. And of course, in the third world context, I challenge the concept of choice. It's like, you know, you have 10 ice creams and you want strawberry. That doesn't happen in real life. So there is this whole artificial understanding of choice. And therefore, this mess that no woman would choose to be in sex work. And the only way to give sex workers their right is to free them. So now we have an entire contingent of people who are from the faith-based organizations, from women's rights organizations, who are fighting us on the ground, telling the sex workers that freedom from sex work is their right, and therefore they would use the police, which is the most oppressive arm of the state as far as sex workers are concerned, the army in some cases, again, the very, very, very clearly oppressive arm of the state, to rescue sex workers from sex work. What are the sex workers saying? The sex workers are saying that sex work is work and it should be decriminalized. This helps sex workers articulate violation of their rights and also helps them claim right to health, which we know, since sex workers are deeply stigmatized within the health system of the country, this is a huge problem. We also should understand that when we are talking about sex workers, we are talking about adult, male, female and transgendered workers. And I think we're just, that is the sex workers' rights movement that is trying to table this, that we are talking about adults, we are talking about adult men, we are talking about adult women, and we are talking about adult transgendered people who are exchanging sexual services for money. The law, of course, is very complicated. One arm of the law, I remember when we started working with sex workers, everybody was worried about HIV. So we were coming in the office was dumped with condoms. And we were told, take these condoms to the sex workers and see that they use them. And of course, we take the condoms and give them to the sex workers. In the evening, the police would come and say, you're with condoms, you're definitely a sex worker because you have this condom. And don't forget, in India, the condom that we give out is a brand that is the government brand. It's called Nirodh. So you have the government brand, which is given free of cost. It's a subsidized condom given to sex workers within the health infrastructure. And you have the police telling you that because you have the government brand, which is Nirodh, that you get picked up and penalized because you're doing sex work on the streets. The Indian government also has, of course, recognized that sex workers are critical in the fight against HIV, that marginalized community, that vulnerable communities, let them be men who have sex with men, let them be sex workers, let them be transgendered workers, they know that they're critical in the fight against HIV. But yet, we find that we are in fact at this point in time, as I'm speaking to you, going in for an amendment of what is known as the Immoral Traffic Prevention Act. And please note, in India, we have the act which is the Immoral Traffic Prevention. Why would trafficking, a criminal offense, clearly be moral or immoral? But in India, that's the act we have. It's the Immoral Traffic Prevention Act. And we are going in for amendments which are going to be really problematic, and I'll talk about them in a minute. What is happening with ITPA? ITPA is the Immoral Traffic Prevention Act. It's used largely to abuse sex workers. It also raids sex workers in such a way that everybody goes underground. It is impossible to talk about HIV. It's impossible to negotiate safety with clients. It is impossible to have a conversation with the police who are picking you up on the streets, telling you because you have the condom that you are illegal. And also, in a country where we have huge brothels, we have huge red light districts. Brothels in our country under ITPA are illegal, but we have huge brothels. So you have a nice place for the police to raid, the police to come and make some more money in a very, very corrupt system. The raids, of course, I'm deeply concerned about the raids because of late the raids have increased tremendously. And the raids are all performed by people who uphold human rights. They're either women's rights groups, sometimes faith-based groups. These groups are upholding human rights, but they're using tremendous human rights violations to conduct raids to rescue sex workers. In fact, from WAMP, which is the organization that I work with on the ground, which is called Veshya Anyai Mukti Parishad. Veshya is prostitute in Sanskrit. Anyai is injustice, Mukti is freedom, and Parishad is a group of people coming together. So there are this group of sex workers coming together to fight freedom from injustice. And the interesting part, of course, is that invariably, the rights that their rights that are violated during the raids are never recorded. Never, never. You have the police coming in with lathis, beating you up, dragging you. We call them the hair-pulling police because they actually pull your hair and drag you. And this is performed by, you know, social workers who are standing there and watching this happen. Women's rights activists, human rights activists, faith-based organizations, what have you. And all in the name of the fact that they're rescuing this girl from sex work. We also, of course, have this whole issue of the raid, rescue, and restore. Done? The problem with this, of course, it stems from this thing that all prostitution is sexual victimization. It is indiscriminate, it's violent, it's destructive of invaded communities. You terrorize communities by raiding them. It's ineffectual. Okay, what are you doing this raid for? You're doing it to curb child prostitution. You're doing it to curb trafficking. Let me tell you, I have yet to see any research on this issue that will actually help and tell us that this kind of tremendous violation of human rights, which is this raid and this rescue, does on this community, and if it's actually helped either child trafficking or any kind of abuse of sex workers. And last, before I leave, is that we have this, in WAMP, we actually have a banner that says, save us from saviors. We are tired of saviors. Please save us from saviors. Thank you.